We've been having a series of sermons on prayer and looking through the Lord's Prayer. And this morning, we come to the familiar words at near the end of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, Erica had the easy part and dealt with the first part of that last week on lead us not into temptation. I wonder what goes through your mind when you think about the latter part of that. Deliver us from evil. If I was bold and if there was plenty of time, I'd go round and we'd talk about what each of us understand by that and what our expectation is when we pray those words. You know, for many, I think it probably means, Lord, please don't let anything unpleasant happen to me today. Keep me from physical harm. Keep me from accidents and illness and unpleasant people. Rather like the litany that some of you may have be familiar with in the old Book of Common Prayer. From lightning and tempest, from plague and pestilence and famine, from battle and murder and from sudden death, good Lord, deliver us. The phrase, deliver us from evil, may well incorporate all of these things. But is that really what Jesus is saying in this phrase? It does, after all, come after the words that Erica led us on last week. Lead us not into temptation. Have all these physically unpleasant things, what have they got to do with resisting temptation? We're probably used to the translation, familiar in the King James Version of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. But the Greek can equally well be translated, deliver us from the evil one. In fact, that's probably the preferred translation. One thing is quite clear, it is not saying deliver us from email. It is deliver us from evil. In plenty of other places, in the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament, the writers talk about delivery from the evil one, a personification of evil. Jesus prays for his disciples that God will keep them from the evil one. And Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, asks that he may be guarded against the evil one. It probably doesn't make a great deal of difference to our action on this passage as to which one of those translations we take. Because what we're going to do is to look through a few things this morning. And I want, as we develop through these thoughts, to firstly remind you that evil exists. And then to remind you even more powerfully, I hope, that we have been delivered from evil and victory over it is secure. That we've been equipped for the battle. And finally, that we're in this together. Until a few years ago, it was not fashionable to talk about evil. We were told there's no such thing as good or bad or evil. Just circumstances, or upbringing, or social environment, or our parents, or even our genes, or maybe my brain made me do it. Good and evil are just social constructs, local rules for generating a stable society and human flourishing. As Richard Dawkins wrote, the universe we observe has precisely the properties we should expect if there is, at bottom, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. But is that our experience? Even a cursory look at the last century demonstrates that wickedness is a reality. Whether we look at the horrors of the Holocaust, the slaughter at Srebrenica, the outrage of Pol Pot, genocide in Rwanda, terrorism, ISIS, evil is all around us in the world. And it's even a word that politicians used. George Bush talked about looking evil in the face and about dealing with the axis of evil. Despite our best efforts, despite increases in education and technology and income and well-being, people still do things that in the cold light of day we all call evil. the scriptures make it clear that there are evil forces at work opposing God. And we're saying this every time we say the Lord's Prayer and ask, deliver us from evil. In our reading from Ephesians, we read, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The Bible speaks of the devil, the Satan, the accuser, the one who opposes God. Jesus says to his disciples, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And in that familiar parable of the sower who goes out to sow, what about the seed that fell on the path? Jesus explains, when anybody hears the message about it, about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. This is the seed sown on the path. The evil one takes it away. This is more than just physical or natural evil, as it's called. I don't like that phrase at all, because it's just the way that things are in the world when bad things, unpleasant things happen. What we're talking about is moral evil. The things that turn us away from God. Evil that distorts the good. Evil, you see, is parasitic on the good. Stop for a moment and think. It's possible to think about good without thinking about bad. But it's not possible to think about bad without seeing it in contrast to what is good. Look at a picture of that apple on the left. It's a good apple, isn't it? A nice red, rosy one. The one on the right is a bad apple. You couldn't have the bad one without the good one, could you? But you could have the good without the bad. You see, evil is a corruption of what is good. It's a distortion of what God has given us in a good world and made something, the devil makes bad things of it. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're asking God to deliver us from turning away from him, to stop us listening to the accuser, the Satan, the accuser who says to us, God doesn't really love you, does he? You've sinned again. The accuser who whispers like the serpent in the garden, did God really say that? Surely it won't matter. Just this once. You see, delivery from evil isn't just about the unpleasant things that happen to us. Things like earthquakes and illness and natural disasters. But about the things that draw us away from obeying God. We're talking about delivery from the one who can destroy the body and the soul. And that's Satan, the devil. Of course, it isn't the silly caricature of a devil with horns and red tights and a pitchfork, the sort of things we see in cartoons, but of one who comes to deceive us, the deceiver who masquerades as an angel of light, as Paul writes to the Corinthians. Someone who trips us up, comes to us as if it's a nice thing to do, and yet leads us away from God. We pray, deliver us from evil, because there is a force that operates against God, that stands against the good that God has created in this world, mimics what God has done and distorts what is good. You see, unpleasant things do happen in life. But how do we respond to them? Do we allow the accuser, the tempter, to use them to draw us away from God? That's what we pray when we pray, deliver us from the evil one. Now, that's not to say that we should be looking for devils around every corner and under every bed. It was C.S. Lewis who said there are two equal and opposite errors into which we can fall about devils. One is to disbelieve their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. No, we don't look to the devils. We look to Christ and we resist evil. Not by turning to face evil itself, but by turning to face Christ. We resist him by standing firm and fixing our eyes on Jesus. Our focus is on Christ. God himself is our deliverer. That's what we pray. Deliver us from the evil one. The Apostle Paul, writing, was honest about himself, saying, "So I find a law at work in myself. Do I want to do good? Evil is right there with me. In my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" That is our cry as we cry out to God, "Deliver us from the evil one." But Paul goes on, "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Who can rescue me? Thanks be to God. God himself rescues us through Jesus Christ. Look for a moment at the passage that was read from Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 1. Jesus goes into the local synagogue and he teaches there. And he teaches as one who has authority. And somebody with an evil spirit appears. And they know who Jesus is. They know that he has authority over them. "I know who you are," says the Spirit, "the Holy One of God." And knew too that Jesus had come to destroy the works of the evil one. Even if the people around didn't realize it, the evil spirit knew exactly who Jesus was. He taught and demonstrated with authority. You see, the rabbis and the Pharisees that they were used to listening to in those days would debate at length. Rabbi X says this and Rabbi Y says that. And so back and forth would go the discussion with no real authority of their own. But Jesus had none of that. He stood on his own authority under God and simply speaks the truth. "What authority," say the people. "Look, even the evil spirits obey him." No magic formulae, no incantations, no tremendous ceremonies, just a "be quiet, come out." They knew who was the boss, whose authority it was. When we pray the words, "Deliver us from evil," we're reminded that there are circumstances that would draw us away from God, that will accuse us. Later on in this service, we're going to sing the hymn, "Before the Throne of God Above." It's become quite popular recently. People think it's a new one, actually. It's a 19th century hymn. And in that is the verse, "When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin." The accuser's voice tries to discourage us and lead us into a paralyzing sense of hopelessness. And we continually need reminding that God really does look on Christ and pardon me. The accuser accuses us, but in Christ, God has torn up the charge sheet. For the Christian who has been forgiven, there is nothing for the accuser to say. There is no accusation. The past is gone. The devil is a defeated enemy. Let's leave him that way and not treat him as if he has any claim over our lives. But we're not just left to sit back and let God do all the defeating of the devil. We prayed, "Deliver us from evil," so we could just go to sleep now, couldn't we, and let God do the delivering. God comes to equip us to do that. And we see that in the reading that we had from Ephesians. It's not just let go and let God. It is let God work through our lives. The belt of truth we're told to put on as that armour that God gives us. Our first defence against the evil is to know the truth. The truth indeed that Jesus died for our sins and was raised again. Satan relies on deception, distortion of the truth. We should set our minds to know it. When Jesus was tempted, he responded with the words, "It is written." Remember those three temptations of Jesus in the wilderness? "It is written." There's no magic in the words themselves, but in the assurance and the direction unto God that they provide. "Man shall not live by bread alone. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Know the truth and obey it. The helmet of salvation, protecting our heads and our minds, protecting us against discouragement and doubt, assured that we are saved in Christ. The breastplate of righteousness, protecting our heart, assured that we are saved in Christ with his righteousness, not mine, protecting our relationship with God and with each other. And shoes for your feet. Shoes sometimes ready to run, to flee from danger. But shoes also equipping us to go as a messenger, to declare the gospel, to declare God's kingdom, his power over the evil one, and the shield of faith. The Roman soldier's shield was a large thing, covering almost the whole of his height, and he could shelter behind it. In a few moments, we're going to say the creed, and in that we'll be saying, "I believe and trust." That is the shield of faith. And finally, having put on the armour, Paul tells us to pray at all times in the Spirit. Our lives lived in conversation with our Heavenly Father, talking to him in prayer. And as we go about our daily lives, how do we see ourselves? I found this picture. Somebody dressing ready for work in the office. And his reflection in the mirror is a soldier armed for battle with the armour of God, the sword, the breastplate, and Christ putting the helmet on him. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armour on, strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son, strong in the Lord of hosts and his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trusts is more than conqueror. As we go about our daily lives, let's see ourselves as dressed, ready for the battle. One final thing as we look at this closing part of the Lord's Prayer. And it's only a wee thing. Look at the Lord's Prayer. Have you noticed the words? They're plural throughout. Our Father, our daily bread, give us. Forgive us our sins. Bring us not to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. It's not me, not just me. I'm included in the us and the we. He's not just my God, but Lord of all. We don't just pray that I will be delivered from evil, but that we should be. And rather like the Roman soldiers who would stand together with their shields as an impregnable wall, so we stand together as Christ's believers, resisting temptation, being delivered from the evil one. You see, the enemy loves a lone sheep. That's why it is so important to meet together regularly on Sundays, to pray with others, not just here in church, but in our home groups, our small groups, fellowship groups, whatever you call them. So let's remember, the devil has been defeated. Christ has broken the power of sin. It is a battle, but the victory is assured. That's why we pray, deliver us from the evil one. It's only God who can do the delivering. The enemy is defeated. Let's leave him that way, and not treating him as though he has any claim over our lives. And so we say, Lord, deliver us from the evil one. Amen.